Blog Talk Radio. bit, you get almost a retro contact high listening to Canned Heat. And basically they're saying they're on the road again. It's day 55 of Occupy Wall Street. Day 55, that's a master number. So it's a master day there in Fuquay Park. And it's the second day of Occupy the Highway March to Washington, D.C. They're left from Elizabeth, New Jersey today. You're listening to one of a drumline of activists, blog talk, radio shows, boycotting the MSM motherfuckers and supporting the Occupy movement across the planet, including Progressive News Network with Rick Spisak, Pinko the Bear, and the Wild Wild Left with Diane G. You know, the Pinko the Bear show, that's with Pinko the Bear. And they're all giving it up for the political spirit of change throughout Occupy Our Planet. And big, big support for Occupy Worcester, Massachusetts. You know, they're pounding it out over there. Woo-yay, booyah, all the good stuff. Best little effort, growing, growing, growing. All across the planet to our own hometowns, Occupy is thriving. Let's keep it peaceful out there. Let's keep it peaceful. Go low. And, of course, you may not know this, but this is Here Be Monsters from the Atlantic side of Florida, and I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry. Please bear with me today. I'm about to drop dead here from cold medications. I've got the bug, so... Shit, man, you know, first of all, what the fuck? Cops are beating Berkeley students yesterday and today. Riots at Penn State. Oh, isn't that nice? That was the telephone. Sorry about that. Penn State, when the protector of a child rapist was fired, not one report of flash grenades or rubber bullets. I heard only one report. The police had mace, but if they did or how to use it, they did not. Compare that to Occupy Wall Street protesters who are peacefully protesting and report those violating the law in their midst and have been put in critical condition by the use of rubber bullets and flash grenades. Protesters standing, not violating any law, get maced, dragged to jail, etc. Chew on that for a while. Rioters, for the 1%, are pretty much given a safe free pass. I just saw Dennis Traynor, No Cure for That, piece on this. And you know who one of the Penn State grads is? It's what's her name? Sookie or Nookie or Hookie or whatever her name is. Basically out there. So that was, I copied that off of a Journey with Roundtree 7 post. And hi, oh, so I see you there. Wendy McDonough Watt posted that. Okay, full out call here for the longevity of Occupy Miami. The Miami police, call them. Tell them to lay off Occupy Miami. The permit's running out. They're trying to run them away from Government Center. And I am going to post in the chat room right now how to call the cops and how to call Mayor Thomas Regalado. I think that's how you pronounce his name properly. He's actually not that bad a fellow, but I don't expect him to basically do much of anything good being a politician. But please call the Miami Beach police. I told you'd have to go with me here today, not doing so hot. Okay, now for the next tomorrow, which is an 11/11/11 day, which I don't know if you align or resonate that way in the New Age community. It's quite a day. It's one of those ascension-type days. But it's also Veterans Day, and there's going to be a Veterans Day concert and rally for the 99% at Foley Square at 1 p.m. Now, it's to honor the dead, fight like hell for the living is what it's called. It's being put on by Occupy Wall Street. It's Foley Square, New York City, 1 p.m. tomorrow. And guess who's going to be there? They've got Sergeant Shamar. They've got Shamar Thomas. They've got Joan Baez. Joan Baez. I think of Joan Baez and I think of grapes, don't you? Ryan Harvey, Max Remu from Take Back the Land, and there's going to be an OWS direct action speaker, and many of the Iraq veterans against the war are going to be there and playing. Other amazing artists are still signing up to get in there, and you know how people just drop by. People just drop by. The most amazing people just drop by. So, you know, you got to get there. It was a little dramatic, but, you know, Joan Baez and her Black Les Paul. We got a first-class protest movement going on now, don't we? I mean, can you imagine? Well, hell yeah, you can imagine. It's in your DNA to imagine. I'm going to play a little clip. A couple of guys I really adore and grew up with are going to be, have been there, and they do a little ditty at the end of this clip. So you've probably heard it, but it's always worth hearing again. Stay tuned.
Tell me about Occupy Wall Street. What did you see down there? What did you take away from it, Graham?
We saw the voice of the people. We saw them. We saw the same energy that was in Selma, in Alabama. We saw the same energy in the Vietnam War, in the ladies' struggles and the African-American struggles for the vote. We saw that same energy. It's still there.
Did you draw inspiration from it? Was it that sort of energizing thing that we all look for in events of this nature?
Truthfully, it made me feel fantastic, man. It's part of our job. Part of our job is just to make you feel good and make you boogie. But part of our job is to be the town crier, mm-hmm. the troubadour, and it always has been. We learned it from people like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie, and it's been something serious for us the whole time. And to go down there and start singing without any amps, without any band, with nothing, a little nervous making, and they started singing with us.
Yeah.
And they knew the songs, and they knew why we were singing them. And, you know, I had been down there before just to kind of cruise it and talk to people, ask them what they wanted, mm-hmm. what they needed. And they said it would lift our spirits a lot if you did come down. And truthfully, I think that's what we did. And I felt fantastic, man.
I felt like I was doing my job.
Yeah.
We just finished a 7-week tour of Europe.
Yeah.
And we talked about Occupy Wall Street every single night. And we thought, these people are going to understand. First of all, there's a language barrier, perhaps. But every time that we mentioned them, they cheered.
Mm.
I swear to God, they cheered.
Well, they're having demonstrations all over Europe.
Right, of course.
Big ones, bigger than the park.
Yeah.
About the park.
Yeah.
They, to them, it's as if they were watching America wake up. To us, it's, you know how a crystal starts to form in the solution,
mm-hmm.
when saturation point happens?
Right.
I think we're reaching the saturation
point. The edges,
point.
And then a different pattern each time, but creating something out of what was seemingly nothing there. Yeah.
I think we're reaching the saturation point. And there's a magical thing also in that they don't have a single figure that can be pointed at, mm-hmm. and said, oh, This guy's the troublemaker,
right.
You know, and it's that baffles them. The people we're up against, the 1% of the people who have control of most of the money in the climate,
to buy.
And the people who bought the government. This is like an itch they can't scratch. They can't bomb it. They can't buy it. They can't bull.
Yeah,
you know,
I know what you're saying.
It.
Yes,
and it's. It's really pretty exciting.
But do you have a sense also, there's been some criticism that there are no set demands and it's still vague. Is that part and parcel with the idea that there is not one leader of the group or not even a couple of leaders, that also this is at the, hey, it's wrong stage. We'll figure out how to fix it. First, we have to get people to acknowledge it's wrong.
Exactly.
I think that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
They know it's unequal. They know that it's wrong. They know the system is set against them. They know that it's a system that just favors the rich people. Mm-hmm. They know this, and they're standing up, and they're laying their bodies on the line, literally, to do it. You've been down there. You know what's going on.
They've felt for a long time that their votes didn't count, that the elections get rigged or get bought.
Mm-hmm.
Our bot, that the guy with the biggest, TV budget gets the keys to the kingdom, and they know that's not what the Constitution meant, and it's crystallizing down there.
It was a fabulous time.
It was really exciting.
All right, so you've been there before. That was your first time, Graham?
It was my first time, yes.
There are other ones, obviously, throughout the country. If you have the opportunity to go somewhere else, would you go?
Absolutely. In a second.
Yeah, yeah.
We even took food, we took hand warmers, we took lots of stuff down there, too. We just didn't take ourselves.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was great is that you sensed a unity against the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the people are trying to speak out, and they have, obviously, the constitutional right to do so.
If the major problem of the last 20, 30 years, 35 years might have just been sort of generalized apathy, especially among the people who have the energy to protest, as the rest of us get increasingly out of that demographic group and
right.
be energized,
right.
do you have a sense that it's larger than the people that you saw today?
Way.
Yes. Yeah.
You see, this movement does not need that park.
The park
is way bigger than the park.
The park is just a spark. That's just the beginning.
You know, you're a poet.
That's
Did you
nice.
Know that?
This is going to go on and keep getting bigger because we've reached a point where a whole lot of the country doesn't feel represented. Now, I have very liberal friends and very conservative friends. None of them feel like somebody in Washington is there for them.
Right.
Everybody I know on both sides of the fence feels like the government's been bought and they don't have a say. You know, and that's a really critical point.
All right, you've seen so many other protest movements and contributed to them over the years, and the idea that we're at about 50 days into this, does that give you enough of an idea to assess where this stands and where this might go?
I asked them today.
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh, we got years ahead of us." They said, "We're in this for the long haul." I said, "How long do you think it'll be until they try to shove you out of the park?" They said, "Soon."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, it doesn't matter. You know, it's not about the park. That's just where the focal point was. When we left, we were saying, stay here, stay here, stay here. But the truth is, this is way bigger than that. This is a whole country waking up and saying, we were supposed to have a vote. We were supposed to have a say. We were supposed to have a
country.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a deal where if you worked hard and you could... You know, like, make anything you wanted out of yourself.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be able to believe any way we wanted. Now we got bread and circuses, and we got, you know...
And we've got a system that, you know, just wants you to lie down and be sheep. Shut up. Let us rob you. Buy another pair of sneakers and a soft drink and shut up. No one's going to shut up anymore. I think this movement is going to get larger and larger and larger.
Yeah, they really are not going to go for that anymore.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think happens next? What's the next... evolutionary point.
Well, what I think is that you're going to see people starting to change things, like the banks that didn't want to charge them anymore. You know, they have awakened a monster here. And quite frankly, Keith, I'm totally amazed that the powers that be let it get this far.
Yeah, and made every bad decision they could in terms of
absolutely.
The cops and providing all those moments of conflict and anguish.
I think it's incredibly ironic that Bouazizi, right, from Tunisia,
mm-hmm.
who immolated himself, was so outraged at the system, he set fire and immolated himself and sparked a fire that is worldwide. It's very ironic.
Yeah, absolutely, and the park is the spark. I think somebody better write that down if you don't. On the subject of that, can you indulge us and give us something quickly, a quick song that relates to this?
Sure,
can we?
And this is what we did every single concert and was responded to with unbelievable fervor. And it's a song that David wrote called What Are Their Names. You want to sing it?
Want to write about there?
Sure.
No, that's probably too bad.
Who are the men who really run this land? And why do they run it with such a thoughtless hand? What are their names? And on what streets do they live? I'd like to ride right over this afternoon and give them a piece of my mind about peace for mankind. Peace is not an awful lot to ask.
And that was, of course, Oberman with Crosby and Nash and a couple of my big heroes. It's nice to see two cool Stimson from Canada in the room with Oso and Janelle. Hey, guys. Nice to see you all. Now, where was I? I had already spoken. yeah, that's a good idea. I think that would be a good little clip. Mike, I've already spoken about the cops beating the Berkeley students mercilessly, and we know how they treat them in New York City anymore, and how they're treating them at Penn State. And I've asked you all to give Miami, Occupy Miami, some support. And then we went down, okay, reminding you that tomorrow is the Veterans Day concert and rally for the 99% at Foley Square, and that'll start 11 a.m. in New York City. I have a message from my local folks from Occupy Palm Beach, Lake Worth. Tomorrow it's Occupy A1A, so get your ass to the beach, people. Karen Levin will be coordinating a sidewalk Occupy along A1A all day to bring up awareness for the Occupy movement globally. They're pretty good about global around here. There is no General Assembly. Go on down to the Sable Palm House on North Gulf View and Federal Highway, and it's not just Florida that is doing the sing it? Are you nuts? it's also California today, Southern California, tomorrow Southern California is doing an A1A. Their version of A1A is actually the Pacific Coast Highway. My favorite ride in the whole world, Oso, the Whoa Wow ride. Wow. I adore the Pacific Coast Highway. Connecticut is also, and Massachusetts, all along the beaches, they're doing that, and I haven't in California or Connecticut, but every other state I've lived along the beach for some amount of time. So Occupy the Highway is going on day number two, I believe. Day number three will be tomorrow. Day two, they left Elizabeth, New Jersey today. They went to New Brunswick, New Jersey. it's a group that intends to make it along this route in order to be in Washington, D.C., just in time to show up and bitch fest as occupiers from Liberty Square to D.C. to get in there and at the White House and say, hey, listen, you can't renew the Bush tax cuts, because they'll get there November 23rd for the super committee meeting that is going on. Now, these people are walking on the road, folks, so keep your eyes out for them. There is an OccupyTheHighway.org. And they're not using Livestream, they're using Ustream, but they do have a Connect and they are making videos. And here's the thing, folks, let me get down to it. Dennis Traynor would like a whole lot to be able to get down there and get some film on these folks. Now, Dennis Traynor, No Cure for That videos, really wonderful job he's been doing throughout this whole thing. You know, he's one of the folks that goes and stays when he's down in New York filming. He crashes a lot with R.P.E. Nolan or Trisha. And Dennis has, he was arrested with Dr. Brother Cornell West on the steps of the Supreme Court. He was a fundamental part and still is of Occupy, or not Occupy, October 2011 that went to D.C. that runs in conjunction with the Occupy movement. Can't believe I'm about to die and I'm still speaking, aren't I? So I'm going to give you into the chat room here. I'm going to give you the link to Dennis Traynor's new site where you can go and, hey, even if it's $5, it's $5. That can get him what may get him what he needs to make something happen. But he's chronicling this whole thing on film, and he's doing a wonderful job. He's launched this site to take donations, and so I'm saying give for Dennis's projects here. He would like to get onto the road and be able to capture a lot of what's going on with the Occupy the Highway. So keep it in mind, and if you're out there talking with folks or you stop in to have a drink someplace or whatever you're doing in the grocery store, you know, bring the awareness up. Don't forget to do that. Okay, now, there have been messages from Oakland today. I was going to play you the anonymous message, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just give you off the cuff on that one, because I'm fading fast, kids. Anonymous is pissed off not at Occupy, but at Oakland Police Department and the Oakland Mayor, Mayor Kwan. She's issued a thrown a gauntlet down, and I'll give you a lowdown on that one. I do want right now to repeat something that I pulled out of Journey with Roundtree 7 Room. And we on the show yesterday, Janelle will remember, we were discussing because people had posted that Occupy Oakland was putting money into the Wells Fargo Bank, and that they were working with a trust. And hey, I grew up with trust funds. Trust officers do, you know, they're the ones who have all the say over anything, and they do the best job for you, the most, you know, expedited way that they can with your money pertaining to goals. Anyway, all that crap aside from them, I did copy over what Oso had to say, and he is Occupy Oakland. He's part of Occupy Oakland. That's his group. Home groups. We have home groups. So anyways, this is traveling down to my lungs, man. Anyone still believes the MSM is an idiot? I'd like to paraphrase Mr. Osorio there. I'd like to say that anyone who believes the MSM is not just an idiot, they're, you know, fucked up. They got their head up their ass. We could go on, couldn't we? We keep hearing local news assholes claiming Occupy Oakland has placed its money in a Wells Fargo account, which has made the portion of the 99% that loves to trash those who actually do something ecstatically happy. Look, honey, those spoiled rich kids who want a handout and break the bank's window, put their money share there. Occupy Wall Street has promised Occupy Oakland $20,000 specifically earmarked for legal and medical issues. It has not arrived yet. Occupy Oakland is trying to set up an account, but the state is holding it up. Now, does that seem like it might be plausible? It does to me. So that the point is, they don't have any details why. Maybe it's not for profit status. Don't know. Point is that people are still in jail and they need to be bailed out. And that means that that $20K has to be loosened up. And a trust fund would actually make that happen quicker. The Occupy Oakland account is ready. A lawyer who donates his time will put it in an Iolata Trust account, which is at Wells Fargo, and this was agreed upon, apparently a lot of agrimony. All of the Occupy Oakland hates Wells Fargo and on and on. And now, this is common sense in the matter that's been brought out today. Occupy Oakland is in no way wanting to do business with Wells Fargo Bank. I think that it's important to remember here that, and I'm going down here where I thought, I kept it up here, just one. An open letter was sent. And folks, if you're calling me right now or whatever, I can't hear you because I'm on another site. This is posted at Occupy Oakland. It's an open letter, and it's by Timothy Y. Fong, and he is the attorney who is handling the funds. And he says, there has been a lot of discussion about the deposit of funds into my Wells Fargo client trust account. In the interests of transparency, I submit this open letter. When I volunteered the use of the account, I was balancing the possibility of bad PR with the possibility of forestalling serious physical harm to people in jail. It was possible there would have been mass arrests on the day of the general strike. If I have to choose between bad PR and human lives, then I will choose bad PR every time. I was informed that people had already faced seriously dangerous conditions in jail. And the night before the general strike, I had no way to know that the day would not end in mass arrests at the port or at the hull of rubber or in a hail of rubber bullets and wooden dowels like the anti-war protests of 2003. And he goes on to make some clarification points, which I'm not going to go down the list of today, but I am going to say that it's very clear that Occupy Oakland's integrity is above and beyond reproach here. So don't listen to the fucking mainstream media. What does it take for people to finally freaking get it? You know, they're indicting those bastards over at News Corp on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean right now. People are just, they got their heads so far stuck up. Anyways, speaking of banks, I'm going on down the list here. Jesus. Our pal Pinko the Bear captured some reality here. As protests against financial power sweep the world this week, science may have confirmed the protests were its fears. An analysis of the relationships between 43,000 transnational corporate. You see how programming works? Transnational corporations has identified a relatively small group of companies, mainly banks, with disproportionate power over the global economy. Now, there is a link to this over in the Wild Left. And basically what this all comes down to is a study's assumptions have attracted some criticism, but complex systems analysis contacted by new scientists say it is a unique effort that has been made to untangle control in the global economy. Pushing this analysis further, they say, could help identify ways of making global capitalism more stable. The idea that a few bankers control a large chunk of the global economy might not seem like news to New York's Occupy Wall Street movement and protesters elsewhere, but the study by a trio of complex system theorists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich is the first to go beyond ideology to empirically identify such a network of power. It combines the mathematics long used to model natural systems with comprehensive corporate data to map ownership among the world's transnational corporations, or TNCs. Reality is so complex, we must move away from dogma, whether it's conspiracy theories or free markets, says James Glatfelder. Our analysis is reality-based. Well, empirical, I would think. Previous studies have found that the TNCs own large chunks of the world's economy, but they included only a limited number of companies and omitted indirect ownership, so you cannot say how this affected the global economy, whether it made it more or less stable, for instance. The Zurich team can. From Orbis 2007, a database listing 37 million companies investors worldwide, they pulled out 43,060 TNCs and the share ownerships linking them. This is interesting shit, man. Then they constructed a model which companies controlled through others, through shareholding networks, dummy corps, coupled with each company's operating revenues to map the structure of economic power. Isn't that cool? And it's really pretty damn, it's simple, but it's so simple and elegant. Who, you know, it took scientists. The work to be published in the PLOS one, which I would take it as a scientific magazine, revealed the core of 1,318 companies with interlocking ownerships to just really 20 entities, 20 companies. What's more, although they represented 20% of global operating revenues, the 1,318 appeared to collectively own through their, appeared to collectively own through their shares the majority of the world's large blue chip and manufacturing firms, the real economy, representing a further 60% of global revenues. Is this getting freaky for you yet? You know, hey, I got cold medicine going on, but is this freaky for you yet? It's always nice to know you're right, isn't it? When the team further untangled the web of ownership, it found much of it tracked back to a super entity of 147 even more tightly knit companies. All of their ownership was held by other members of the super entity that controlled 40% of the total wealth in the network. Okay, now that the network is the global economy, folks. That's the whole deal, okay? In effect, less than 1% of the companies were able to control 40% of the entire network, says Glatfelder. Most were financial institutions. Of course, that sounded like the opposite of what it means, but it's the 1% controlling. The top 20 included the first name, the highest on the whole board is Barclays Bank. And there was J.P. Morgan, Chase & Company also. But, you know, it was all the way down at 18 to get to Goldman Sachs Group. The rest were I recognized one MXS European, and that is the Vaticano Banco group there. So if you're not fascinated, man, you should be. And hey, wait a second here. I'm going to do the right thing by y'all. Here comes the link to go there and take a look at this. if you're not fascinated, you should be. It does confirm the whole of the Occupy declarative argument in a nutshell, babe. It's got it all for the rest of the article. By the way, this piece confirms what I was saying yesterday, that royal bloodlines and the Vaticano Bank are the big boys in the 1% list. Goldman Sachs was dumped, as I said, down at 18. And number one, Barclays. Do you know who puts all their money in Barclays Bank? Well, just about every Western and some of the Eastern royal bloodlines. So, hey, anything weird thinking about that? And you know what, folks? Those are actually my notes for today. It is, Tricia. It's a physics and math article, but it explains. There's a lot more to it than what I read. I do appreciate Oso for stopping by, and I hope got it right for. And I put the. I hope I put the open letter. Hang on, I've got to give you the open letter to Oakland, Occupy Oakland, and all the other folks. I've got to put that into the chat for y'all if you want it. And I think that's pretty much all I got for today. Did pretty good, 40 minutes. And I'm going to play myself out. Cool, Oso. I'll thank you all for showing up. I know there's a little lag here. And I hope to see you tomorrow. I hope to be living tomorrow, but I hope to see you here tomorrow. I'm going to play us out with a little something that came from some independent folks, some alternative stuff. And, yeah, I'm going to bed right now. Well, of a standard of cold water, but I'm so happy to see y'all. Brian, I see you there too. Thank you. And don't forget what I said about Dennis. Dennis Trainer needs money, money, money. So talk to your friends, pass it around Facebook, go over to Dennis's page, and share his link. His link is back up there too in the chat room. He needs some funds to get out there and do some filming of Occupy the Highway. Kelly and her crowd need some good boosting too. So we're going to go and thank you all for arriving.
The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message. I love you. Now, back to our show.
The greatest form of control is where you think you're free, when you're being fundamentally manipulated and dictated. One form of dictatorship is being in a prison cell and you can see the bars and touch it. The other one is sitting in a prison cell but you can't see the bar, you think you're free.
What the human race is suffering from is mass hypnosis. We are being hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? Motherfuckers, they controlling us now. When no one's talking about how they made us part of their claims. And everybody's just walking around, out in the crowd. I wanna wake up to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day.
Everybody is slaves, only some are aware that the government releasing poison in the air. That's the reason I collect so many guns in my lab. I ain't never caught slipping, never underprepared. Yeah, they shade Zion on me, they just drink it proudly. George Bush, the grandson of Aleister Crowley. They want you to believe the lie that the enemy's Saudi. The enemy.